Hi, everyone. Welcome to Making Hope. I'm your host, Kimberly Dudick, and this season we're talking about ways you can take steps every day to fight back against sexism and oppression and fight for reproductive justice and abortion access. Cities and counties can act to protect abortion access because many times local particular factors can affect whether abortions are safe and accessible. Local officials can prioritize reproductive justice and implement policies to help, even in red anti-choice states that attempt to ban legal abortions. For states that are considered pro-choice or where abortion is accessible, local policies provide an opportunity to protect and expand abortion access for others. This access may prove essential for those from out of state who come to the state solely to seek abortion care services. For states that are restricting access to safe legal abortions, opportunities for action still exist at the local level in your city and county to protect access and reproductive rights. Cities and counties have different elected officials than those that have power at a statewide level, and we can work with those elected officials to create the communities we want to see, those that fully support reproductive rights and health equity. On the last episode, we talked about how localities can pass policies that would bar local officials and employees from cooperating with out-of-state investigations and prosecutions related to abortion care and reproductive health. Check out that episode if you want to hear more. It's real interesting. On this episode, we're going to talk about how localities can pass policies that do not permit deputizing of everyday citizens so that they can engage in bounty-style hunting of individuals who attempt to access and assist others in accessing abortion services. Inventive lawmakers have been trying to find ways to criminalize women and those involved with abortion care. One new and innovative way is what we've seen in Texas with a law that was passed that deputizes regular everyday citizens to be the enforcers of anti-choice laws instead of having government or law enforcement agencies be the enforcers. The law, known as the Fetal Heart Rate Bill, bans abortion after 6 weeks of pregnancy, typically when cardiac activity can be detected. Now, this bill is being called a fetal heartbeat bill, but it's truly not a heartbeat that we're talking about because a heart does not exist. All that exists is cardiac activity at a very small level. This is also a time before most individuals even know that they're pregnant. So we're banning abortions before somebody even knows they're pregnant. How does that even make sense? Originally, when a law is passed, enforcement of that law is left up to government officials. But this Texas law prohibits state officials from enforcing it. It instead allows citizens to enforce it, effectively deputizing those citizens into law enforcement officials with no training or oversight. It allows ordinary citizens, even those outside of Texas, to sue clinics and others who violate this law in Texas and assist a woman in obtaining an abortion after 6 weeks of gestation. That should make you concerned. The law allows anyone to sue abortion clinics, medical providers, and anyone like friends and family who help a woman obtain an abortion in Texas after 6 weeks. This is not how the American legal system is structured. We do not allow vigilante groups to enforce our laws. It's happened in the past and it never ends well. Not only are ordinary citizens suddenly elevated to this new status of enforcer of laws, but they're also provided an award of at least $10,000 for every abortion after 6 weeks that they are successful suing somebody about. One problem out of the many problems with this law is that it allows anyone, those not involved with the situation, your bank teller, your bartender, your coffee barista, to have legal standing to sue someone. A tenet of law is that you must be personally harmed in some way in order to sue someone for that harm. This is called standing. This law in Texas allows those to sue who have not been harmed. It could allow a neighbor to sue for somebody helping their neighbor obtain an abortion if for some reason they don't like you. Maybe they don't like the way you tend your yard or your fence isn't the right color. Suddenly, they're going to be elevated to a status that they could sue you for making healthcare decisions and having people help you obtain the healthcare you need. They can do this even though the abortion has nothing to do with them. Now, this is especially problematic. This law conceivably allows a rapist to sue. They could sue the rape victim's family, their counselor, or anyone who helps a survivor if that survivor has an abortion after being raped. That is not freedom. That's not the American way. It's not fair. It is sick. And allowing this type of law is a symptom of how sick the American political system and legal system is around abortion and reproductive rights. Women are being treated as chattel, as objects to be owned and manipulated, as unequal and subservient to those who have a penis. It is an American sickness that we have to fight. This type of law has a large destabilizing impact on the American legal system because of how it allows people who are not involved in a situation whatsoever to sue someone about it. These types of laws do not protect a woman's health, and I say woman because most of the laws are written saying woman, but it truly impacts anyone who has a uterus, regardless of their gender identity. They're blatant attempts to interfere with a woman's right to make private healthcare decisions, and it would allow rapists to sue a survivor's medical provider, counselor, or family and recover financial damages. That's money. They could recover money because of the crime they committed. That's sick. This means that a rapist can make money off of their crime of rape. The law empowers sexual predators, and those who support these laws are likewise empowering sexual predators, whether they intend to or not. Feeling outraged and disgusted? Well, you should. This law and any like it are monstrous. If you want to start working on this issue and have local leaders take action so that this type of absurd law cannot be enforced in your area, here is what you need to do. First, sit down and write out what you would like to see changed and with whom you'd like to see it changed. Then find the contact information for your mayor, city council, county commissioners, and talk to them about what you want to see done. If you don't want to talk to them, send them an email. Let them know you do not support laws that deputize regular citizens to enforce anti-choice policies or regulations. Let them know you want them to pass policies that do not permit this type of deputizing of ordinary citizens to engage in bounty-style hunting of individuals who attempt to access and assist others in accessing abortion services, and that you definitely do not support having them being awarded $10,000 for every time they successfully sue someone for helping somebody obtain an abortion or reproductive health care. You can also do more in your personal sphere of influence. Your personal platform is power. Talk to others about your thoughts and build your team to advocate for these changes. Post online about what you would like to see done. Write into your local paper and share your thoughts there. These are all steps you can take to help protect the fundamental right to an abortion and help protect privacy and dignity. You can help to protect the validity of the American judicial system with these actions. We're in the fight of our lives with these laws, and we need to do everything we can to stop them. With all the bad news we're hearing about taking away fundamental rights, we really need to focus on what steps, no matter how small, we can take to fight for our rights. We're not powerless to stop this rollback of reproductive freedom, and we're not powerless against those who are extremists. It's time for us to act and push for the policies that will protect our rights. Thank you for joining us today. Stay tuned for the next episode to learn more ways you can act to protect reproductive rights. If you want to stay up to date, follow us on social media on Facebook and Instagram at Making Hope Podcast and on Twitter at Making Hope Pod. If you want to reach out about these issues, send an email to makinghopepodcast@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. This podcast is a tool for you to use in the fight for reproductive freedom, abortion access, and gender equity. We will give you ideas, and you can take these ideas and put them into action. Together, we can lead this fight and make a better future for us and future generations. You have the power. Until next time, keep fighting the good fight. We are in this together. Every step forward is a step in the right direction, and working together, we can move mountains.